with your to-do list.
Almost half of President Obama's supporters now say they have doubts, according to a new poll. What took you so long? In the meantime, a new terror threat, this one leveled at government workers in D.C. I'll serve up the details. And bravo, the tube to freedom from being trapped for 2 months underground for 33 Chilean miners. Let's start on an up note. How about that? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, that's my name. This show is America Tonight. From the left coast to the right coast to the flyover states in between, we talk about it all. It's water cooler buzz, baby. It's the overnight highway. Lots of conversation as we zig and zag all over the place. Let me throw out the numbers at the top. If something strikes you and you want to throw in your 2 cents, please do. 800-259-5791. Sometimes I'm accused of not giving out the number enough, so I'm going to say it again. 800-259-5791. So the up note that I was talking about, one can only imagine what it would be like to be trapped almost like you have claustrophobia, I'm sure, even though you work in conditions where you're underneath the ground and they're close quarters and all that sort of stuff. I mean, miners know the danger of what it is they're doing. But to be trapped and survive after 2 months, boy, there'd be stories to tell. I'm so certain of it. So two miners so far of the 33 have been rescued. And that's happening right now as you are listening to my voice. They're pulling these guys up from this collapsed mine to the fresh air and the freedom to breathe it in this crazy escape capsule that almost looks like a long missile. But it works, so who cares how they're getting them out, just that they're getting them out safely. You know, these men have young children and wives and mothers and fathers. Lots of tears are being spilled at the top of the surface, no doubt, but it's a good thing. It's a positive thing because for once, we're talking about trapped miners getting out and not, oh, there's how many dead people underneath the surface. And I'm sure that they're weak and have maybe psychological things going on and whatever, but that can all be dealt with. It's the fact that they've been rescued. It's the fact that for 17 days of those 2 months, they had absolutely no outside contact after the collapse. Nothing. They made 48 hours worth of rations last before rescuers reached them with a narrow, very narrow borehole to send down some food. So they survived. And the paramedics immediately, of course, there's lots of paramedics there. They're talking about the worst case scenario, most likely for those that are being pulled out, is hypertension, which they already know because they've been describing conditions. Hypertension and diabetes and respiratory infections and bumps and bruises and all that kind of stuff. But the great news is that, man, they've been able to get out of here. And, of course, there's journalists galore. There's like 1,000 writers and photographers and videographers and, you know, you name it, whatever form of media. So they actually put up a screen to block the top of the shaft so you couldn't see the guys come out. They're taking pictures that they're releasing, but they're not letting all the media folks close to try to get them up and out as fast as possible. Now, this missile that I described, you're talking about going 2,000 feet, more than 2,000 feet underneath the surface and riding up in this shaft. They say it takes about 20 minutes. So you're talking maybe one miner per hour that they're able to get up. So it's going to take a long time to get everybody out. But what a crisis this was for Chile. when 700,000 tons of rock just collapsed way back in August, sealing the fate of those miners into the very bowels, the lower reaches of you, if you will, of the mine. And I just can't say enough about what a great story this is. And the United States certainly aided and tried to help in any way they could as far as helping the Chilean folks in what they needed to do to get these men out of this situation. Even NASA was involved in this. Well, that would be certainly some from the U.S. The whole crew was over there trying to help with this shaft and what to do and what needed to happen. And it was actually it was some things that were donated by NASA. They were given, for example, a liquid diet so that would keep them from getting sick when the capsule rotated 10 to 12 times through the curves and this very small escape hole. And you know, the miners had to wear oxygen masks, and they are. The rest of them are going to have to do that as they have some two-way voice communication. And, wow, just amazing what's gone into this rescue, and the fact that they're able to pull it off is just crazy. The miners had to wear sweaters as they're coming up because they'll have a weird shift in the climate change from about 90 degrees underground to almost freezing on the surface after nightfall. So those are all the things that were taken into account thanks to the collective minds who have been working on this for, you know, 2 months since they were initially trapped. So bravo to all the people who made that rescue possible. All right, so we move from the miners to something that I can't fathom. You think of the jobs that you do, whatever they are, or the jobs that you've had. Probably most of us have had different kinds of jobs from the time you were maybe a teenager to what you're doing now. And I read this story about a sewer worker who actually survived being washed through a mile of pipe. And I thought, wow, this is one of those jobs that I don't think I would want to do. And especially listening to this story. I mean, what's the worst thing? Think about this. You may have great stories out there that you live to tell. What's the worst thing that happened to you on a job? In fact, you've got the digits. Dial them up if you've got a good one for me. I'm sure some of you truck drivers have some good encounters to talk about. But a contract worker who was looking at a sewer drain in Kansas City was swept through a 24-inch pipe. Then he was found alive 90 minutes later. 90 minutes. He traveled about a mile through the system. So a city worker and some firefighters actually heard him scream for help. And they popped open a manhole and found him curled up in a fetal position at the bottom of this 12-foot chamber. So this is miraculous as well. They called an air ambulance. They took him to the hospital because he's critically injured. They loaded him into the helicopter, and so far he is surviving. He was wearing a safety harness, and he got swept up into the sewer system. And luckily, he was a slender guy, 5'8", 127 pounds. But he had hypothermia, they say, and he might have ingested sewage. Ooh, nasty. Stay with us. We're kicking the can down the road here on America Tonight.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also, on super sale. Olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources, Precious Metals Brokers, and my phone number is 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then perhaps it's time for a change. You have the opportunity to make a change in November by voting, and the opportunity to make a change in your financial security today by calling me, Dwayne Daly. Get the stability and peace of mind that you deserve with gold and silver, a form of wealth protection for 5,000 years. As the inflation pinch becomes tighter and the dollar continues to devalue, while stocks remain iffy at best, stop the bleeding with precious metals. Metals will let you retain your purchasing power, protect your assets, and stop inflation the day you get in. I have many different ways to accomplish this, from metals for possession to IRA rollovers, tax-free, and everything in between. So if you would like to turn your scrambled nest egg into a souffle, call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115. 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are ready for a change, please call Dwayne Daly.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HeartDrop.com.
Washed through the sewer drain, who was found alive and then put in a helicopter. Just a freak weird story. How he even survived up to that point and how long it took him to get through the system. Boy, just crazy. Just crazy what happened. And I was thinking about this. What's the worst thing that you can say that happened to you on the job? And when I read this earlier in the day, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. You could say, well, I had crappy bosses and, you know, they did this, this, and this, and mentally it was mental fatigue or whatever. But I might mean more like the sewer thing. So for me, probably the worst thing that ever happened to me is I was a teenager and I was determined that I was going to save up a whole bunch of money for school. I was just going to save up a whole bunch of money. So I would work these odd jobs. Like I was a caddy. I was 16, I think I was a caddy for a week or two. And that worked out pretty good. But then the regular caddies came back. So that was really just a temporary thing. And, of course, every bag that I had to haul, and I was a slip of a thing, felt like it weighed 100 pounds, but I did it. And I can also remember working, because somebody I knew worked in a donut shop, and I can remember them getting me a job, and I worked in the donut shop for a while, and I probably could have hung on to that job, but the problem was, I thought the manager was crazy. We had these, you know, you have to fill the cream donuts, these giant vats of cream, and somebody knocked one of the vats over. It just, you know, all this cream was on the dirty floor. I probably shouldn't tell people who really like cream-filled donuts this, but the vat tumbled over, and so all the cream was all over the floor. And I thought, naturally, we were just going to clean it up and throw it away. And when we started to do that, the manager got hysterical that, no, we just needed to put it back in the vat and put it in the donuts. Oh, that was it. I pretty much turned in my resignation, the first time I ever resigned from a job, at 16 years old, after I knew that they were taking that crappy cream off the floor and sticking it back in the donuts. So that ranks up there. How about Tom in Kansas? Tom, how are you?
Fine, Kate. How are you?
I'm good.
On that story about the sewer worker?
Yeah.
I bet that's the one job where you kind of learn to keep your mouth shut.
But I'm bump. Hey, Tom, you got to do us a favor. Turn your radio down because it's echoing back to us. But, yeah, that's a good line there. But it's pretty brutal that he went through that entire system. And plus, look, he's in critical condition. So on the other side, it's scary.
Yeah, I made a joke with Wes's heart, you know, in all seriousness.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Tom, we're going to let you slide. I could hear that echo back. Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
There you are. How you doing, Kate?
Good, Don. You've had a lot of different jobs, I guarantee you. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you on a job?
Whoa. What makes you think that now?
Because I know you were probably like me as a teenager, and I guarantee that you did different things to make money.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, Tim. 30 years ago. That's hard to remember. So.
And there's anyway. Nothing kooky that's happened to you in a truck?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I was a teenager, of course, we were in Japan. My dad was in the Army over there, and all the kids in school, now, there wasn't that many of us. I mean, we're only talking, I think our high school had 180 in it, but they had us do summer hire jobs. They pretty much said, you will work. You know, and of course, it was a way to get money. I think we got like $2 an hour or something like that, you know. You keep the kids working, they can't get in trouble, right? So
that's
work.
Right.
It's time to be getting in trouble. So, but anyway, though, crazy things in the truck. I went off I don't think I told you last summer, not this summer, last summer, I went off the road in the vehicle I was in. So.
Ooh, and you were okay, obviously.
I hurt my back pretty bad. And, I could tell you some really disgusting things I found out about that, though, Kate. So I couldn't defecate for 2 weeks. But I was like, what the heck is this all about? What happens is whenever you injure your back, your blood strains right to it to try to help protect it, you know, or help it heal, you know.
Right.
And that doesn't leave any blood for your anal sphincter, whatever. That
right.
Part of your body that you use to go to the bathroom will work. And so it's kind of like, man, so, I mean, I was within a couple of days of having to do an enema. And I was like, before I finally was able to go to the bathroom, I didn't have to do one of those. But anyway. But, I didn't know that, though. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's amazing how the human anatomy works.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, I got lucky on that one. You know, unfortunately, I survived it. And I didn't tear the vehicle up too much. That's scary if I got the death, I guess.
No, that counts. That counts as something horrific, you know, that happened on the job. Definitely. Especially the back injuries. The back injuries are so, and you're just talking about that there, the back injuries can be so devastating. And, you know, what do you do where you're not using your spine? And you think about that, and you think about people who get slipped discs and various things and having to, where their back is out, and they just can't do. They can't be on their feet. They can't drive. How could you drive a truck? And you're out of commission, and then it's a question of, do you have a back operation? What do they do for your back? who's the surgeon, where is it happening. As much as there have been advancements in that, there's some scary things that happen to people when they go under the knife for anything, anytime you're cut for anything, if you have to go that far along. But I brought up this deal because I was just so shocked when I read the story about the Kansas sewer worker who pretty much fell in, that's what happened, and was sucked into the system so much that they pulled him out. They had to fish him out in the end, and luckily he survived it, but he ingested a whole lot of sewage, and he hurt himself along the way. If he was a bigger man, I don't know that he would have survived it. He was, and maybe, too, if he was a bigger man, I don't know how. I guess he still could have gotten sucked into the hole because the opening at the top was pretty big. But he was a smaller man, not height-wise, but weight-wise. He was 120-something. I think I said 127, and that might have helped him there. But, boy, that had to be, when he was going through that pipe, that had to be an incredible ride where I'm sure he was frightened every single moment, not to mention what he was trying to ingest. You know, Tom made the joke. That's where you want to keep your mouth shut at that job. I would think so. So if you have a story to share, please share it with us. Send it to me at americatonight.net or 800-259-5791. All right, I said this at the top, that President Obama's supporters are waning. We're talking about a lot of people who voted for Obama. More than 4 of 10 likely voters who say they once considered themselves Obama backers now are either less supportive or say they no longer support him at all. This was a Bloomberg national poll that they did just last week. So 3 weeks before the November 2nd congressional elections that Republicans are trying to make a referendum on, Obama has a lot of his supporters who are waning, to say the least. Fewer than half of the likely voters approve of the president's job performance. Likely voters are more apt to say Obama's policies have harmed rather than helped the economy. This is the big thing, the economy, stupid. It's all about that. And among those who say they're most enthusiastic, shall we say, about voting this year, 6 of 10 say the Democrat has damaged the economy, that he's made compromises that have hurt the middle class. We keep coming back to that, the disappearing middle class and what has happened in really the last year and a half. Now, we know this all started back in the fall of 2008, and you cannot pin that on the president, but it's what's happened now going forward. And when you got so many people unemployed, joblessness, almost 10%, yeah, you're going to have a lot of unhappy, angry people. People who may just show up at the polls, shall we say. Hang with us, a little odds and ends on the flip.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
We're going to check our mailbag, but before we head to the mailbag, let's fill in the blanks with a little bit of odds and ends. including an apology. Boy, this is all too familiar in politics, isn't it? Besides the flip-flopping, or seesawing, as I like to call it. Let's gauge the reaction, and when it's not good, let's go in the other direction. Well, I mentioned this last time around, the fact that Jerry Brown had his wife, who was at some event with him, who was overheard calling Meg Whitman a whore. So what I guess actually happened is Brown ended up apologizing to Whitman for one of his campaign aides. It wasn't his wife. It was an aide who called her that name on an audio tape that came up last week. So this was right before a gubernatorial debate. So he acknowledged the controversy, knowing, hey, I'm going to get nailed here for this, and said he's sorry that that happened. And he responded to a question about the tape from the moderator, who was none other than Tom Brokaw, who said women consider the term just as degrading as black people consider a certain highly offensive racial slur, let's say. So Brown said that he disagreed with the comparison. Then he went on to describe the recording as a five-week-old private conversation. Then he, in the end, apologized to Whitman. And what's she going to say? She just said, hey, look, the term doesn't befit somebody who's a gubernatorial, you know, part of a gubernatorial campaign, and then just left it at that. But everything is fair game. Nothing is out of bounds when it comes to politics these days. I mean, we've said that over and over again. All right, here's another end for you. It's not over, but three minors are now free as they continue that rescue in Chile. After 69 days, your third man was pulled up from the mine in what can only be described as a dramatic effort to pull them all out, because that is an incredibly long time to be underneath the Earth's surface thinking, am I going to make it? I mean, that you got to wrestle with those demons. And even though, yes, finally food is sent down, some more light is sent down, you're still in close quarters, and you really don't know. How can you answer that question? They're trying to get to you. There's no way they can do anything to get to you than other than take their time and lay it out the way it was laid out, with the help of NASA engineers and a whole bunch of other people who came together to figure out a way to pull them out through the hole so they wouldn't die. And they did. They figured it out. But it took that long to make that happen. It took that long to make sure that everybody was going to get up to the surface safe and sound. So far, three out. That's huge. I mean, huge. Also, as we move along through some O and E here, in the Ukraine, 40 people were killed in a bus and a train crash. Never good when those two meet. And when I initially saw the headline, I thought, because for some reason, whatever I was reading didn't say the Ukraine. And they made it sound like it was in the U.S. somewhere. I was like, wow, where is this possibly happening? And I frantically was trying to find out where it was. Well, it wasn't the Ukraine. So what the deal was is you had a train locomotive that just rammed through a stalled passenger bus on a railroad crossing. I can't tell you, for all of you in the Midwest and other places too, about the whole railway safety thing. When I was a television reporter, I can remember doing stories on this, because I thought, and having not grown up around traditional train crossings, I thought that that was stuff that happened, you know, that doesn't happen now because you have fences and people know to be careful, or know if their car was stalled, for goodness sake, they would get out of it. And who's playing chicken with a train? But I was shocked at how many accidents there would be. Well, in this case, you just had a passenger bus that was going over the crossing and stalled. And what happened was the bus was pushed down the tracks, and the bus driver ignored the siren. It's always that way. how you think you're okay, and I guess you just figure, well, the train's not coming for a while, ignored the siren of the oncoming train, and the bus stalls on the tracks, and then it's too late. So the driver tried to shift gears, and they ignored the red light, and it was too late. The yellow bus was smashed into a pile of metal by the locomotive, which wasn't pulling any cars. So the driver pretty much just violated whatever those traffic rules are. And, you know, this is radio, but the footage that I saw just showed emergency workers piling bodies alongside the tracks. So sad. I mean, body after body. I thought, wow, how many people were, I mean, maybe this number's low. How many people were killed in this thing? And the train driver saw the bus, but couldn't do anything. Hit the siren, and the driver ignored it, and he tried to hit those emergency brakes, but the train was traveling at a crazy speed, and they couldn't stop the train in time. You know, it's weird, too, because there's a movie out now, and I mean, I know it's Hollywood, and it has nothing to do with this terrible accident, but showing, illustrating a train that's a runaway train and trying to stop the train and what happens with the impact as it goes through towns and crossings and all that sort of stuff and then getting people out of the way. And this was that situation where they tried to do the brakes, but it just couldn't work. It just wouldn't work. It was too late and the bus driver ignored the signal. So 43 people killed in a crazy, awful, awful train collision. So we move from the Ukraine back to our own soil and what's shaking in our backyards. And this was big. We talked about this on a previous show. The Fort Hood suspect, Major Nadal Hassan, who is a paraplegic and apparently looks very weak. He was at a military hearing on Tuesday. And we know he's accused of the Fort Hood shootings. And the hearing was over almost as soon as it started. What happened was this hearing is going to determine whether he's going to be court-martialed, which would potentially lead to the death penalty, right? He's accused, as we know, of killing 13 people, wounding 32 others in that shooting spree last November 5th at the Fort Hood Army Base in Texas. And the colonel who's presiding over the hearing rejected a defense request to close the hearing to the public, said no way, this is open, then adjourned to consider another request to delay the hearing until November because of a scheduling conflict. So it looks like they're going to do that. The defense has until midnight, which is now come and gone, to submit the argument for delaying the hearing until November 8th. And when they even brought him in the courtroom, the way it was described to me is, it's, of course, there's tight security around him. He was wheeled in. He's paralyzed from the upper chest down after he was shot by a cop four times during what happened last November. And they said when they wheeled him in, he gripped the sides of the wheelchair and he, to make sure he didn't fall out, his legs were strapped to the chair. And he had his Army Fatigues uniform and a knit cap to help regulate the body temperature. That's what they do with the paralysis. And then you had family members of two victims who were in court, because you can only imagine how they still are dealing with this. And including, there was a woman there whose fiance, Patrick Ziegler, one of the staff sergeants, was severely injured in the shooting. In fact, he's still in the hospital after almost a year being treated for his injuries. So the family members just leaned forward, just glaring at Hassan, and he really didn't have much emotion, and it was up and done and over before you could blink your eyes. And this is an Article 32 hearing, so they're going to consider the evidence against him and decide whether the case moves forward to a court-martial or not. And you've got the defense and the prosecution that can go with witnesses and, of course, the evidence, too. And the condition he's in, it's horrible, but I'm sorry what he did to all those other people. They've got to go for the court-martial here, and I hope they do that. I think it would be foul if that does not happen in the case of Major Hassan. We're checking the mail next here on ATN.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. Purifiers are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. GCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
Thoughts on your mind, and some a little bit on the lighter side, and also some from the current stuff that we've been talking about here on this show in this particular hour of America Tonight. So thanks for all of the emails. Remember, just shoot them to me. americatonight.net. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. Let's see. We've got this one from Meg Gale. Hey, Kate, it's so funny. I just happened to hear you mention about the guy and the sewer. I can't remember if you said Nebraska or Kansas, but whatever. Oh, that has to be the dirtiest job I could possibly think of. However, I have to tell you, at one point in my life, I was a toll taker on the East Coast, and I was working strange hours, and I had somebody go through the toll, bust through the toll not to pay, and literally threw a bag of McDonald's hamburgers at me, screaming something about not having money. And the burgers kind of went flying out of the bag. I have to say that was a very kind of scary but odd moment. Yeah, that'd be kind of odd, thinking what they're going to give you their food. Hey, we don't have any money. Here's the food. They were probably rip-roaring drunk if it was an odd time, and they just threw the burgers up. But that's weird. Although, I guess in some toll places, it depends. You have now a lot of toll roads where you just go through and they take a thing of your license plate and they bill you. And they don't have, you know, even those jobs aren't secure anymore. They don't have live people taking money anymore. And they try to encourage everybody to do the toll tag thing. Of course, on bridges and in the East Coast, that makes sense. I'm sure you still have a lot of human contact. Boy, I bet toll takers have a lot of strange stories as to things that could happen to them, whether they're sitting at their post. I think that'd be a rough job. I think that'd be a rough job. It's the repetitiveness of it. It'd be tough. And then just dealing, I think, with some of the more obnoxious people because it's bound to happen, just like what happened in that story. That would be, I think, a tough job. The other job I think could be tough would be working on an assembly line. I know there's a lot of people that are listening to the show that do work on assembly lines. And I did it one time for fun at a ski factory. It was part of a story thing I was doing, and I wanted to see what it was like to do different jobs. And I, much like the guy who does the dirty jobs, but I wasn't doing dirty jobs, I was just doing different jobs. And that was one of the jobs I tackled. And I was exhausted when I got home after that. I had a whole new respect for people who are working on some kind of line. First of all, the people were great. They were super friendly and had this conversations going on back and forth. You know, it was like a comedy routine. So it was entertaining and it flew by, but it was exhausting and it was doing the same thing. I was helping to kind of smooth out the skis. Is what it was, just to make sure it was okay as it kind of went through. And it was an eye-opener, let's say. All right, we got one here from Roxy. Yo, I love America Tonight. That's a great way to start that. I loved America Tonight. I have to say I am so sick of the current politicians. I enjoy when you say you must go out and vote because it is our right, and too many people have shed blood for the right to do that. I completely agree with you wholeheartedly, as my grandfather and my father both served in the military, and I was raised in a family where when you turned 18, it was time to make sure that you were registered to vote and to go out and make it count, as they say. So bravo for pushing the vote thing. And I agree also that people shouldn't call you up and whine about Obama or other politicians if they can't get up off their arses and go out and vote. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's so easy to complain and whine and talk about how you hate this guy and that guy and what's going on. Well, vote. Make a difference. It does make a difference. You know, we could go back and forth about the Electoral College and that it doesn't make that much difference when it comes to the presidential campaigning, but it definitely makes a difference when we're talking about local campaigns, local offices, and congressional offices. And, you know, whether you're talking about your local congresspeople or senators, absolutely. In a gubernatorial election, that makes a big difference, too. That's why you got to pay attention. You got to keep your eyes open. That's why we're seeing, if nothing else, say what you want about the whole Tea Party deal, but isn't it interesting that the Christine O'Donnells and the Sharon Engels, who came out of left field, are in the position that they're in? It shows the dissatisfaction, because how could they get there? Especially Christine O'Donnell, that's the person to look at. Because Mike Castle was a longtime politician. So what was going on in Delaware that he didn't get the nod? That she got enough votes to win the primary? And he's a guy who was governor twice. He was in Congress for a couple of terms. So he was a known entity. He was known quantity, we'll say. And yet he wasn't the one that they were pulling the levers for. Now, it was close, but he still didn't win. He was the guy with the name. He was the guy that people knew that he had represented for however many decades, had been the face of some politics in Delaware. She wasn't. And I don't care if she could call herself a conehead, but she got in there and she won. So that is a grassroots moment in what we're seeing in our country's history now, is that coming to life. The people, the dissatisfaction, the anger that, please, give me something different, anything. And, you know, she's proof that if you want to make a difference, then go out and shout it to the rooftops. There's somebody else. If there's somebody else, they have a chance now against the political machines. Because she did it. Sharon Engel did it. Miller did it. Joe Miller did it in Alaska, as far as getting through in the primaries. Now, who knows what happens in the general election? We'll see, because some of that is nip and tuck. I think Miller's in. I bet he'll be in Alaska. Sharon Engel, I don't know. Very tight there. And Christine O'Donnell has some work to do, but maybe it'll be a different story when people go to vote. You know, that old thing about doing the polling, and it's likely voters, and sometimes people don't say the way they're really going to vote, and who knows who goes out and who stays home. You do put some validity in the polls, though. This one from Dennis McMahon. The Nobel Committee had guts to honor that Chinese dissident, a lot more guts than this country, which does nothing to stem the flood of Chinese goods in our markets and life, and thus ignore human rights issues there. By the way, what doesn't come from China? Dennis, you know, good point. I've said that before. What doesn't come from China? I defy anyone. You go out, you start to look for shoes, and you find they're made in China. You shop at Walmart, we know this. How much of the stuff is made in China? I mean, how much of anything is made in China? Spend a week and start paying attention. Do a little homework for me, because I'll do the same thing. Start flipping over things, and you'll learn that so much of what our goods are, clothes especially, a lot of food items, dog food, etc., we know that we've had tainted dog food, comes from China. And that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.